The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, if you want to open up in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 15 and 16. Well, let's see. We'll figure out where we're going to go. Hebrews 12:12. Let's go there. Just want to read this scripture over us. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Last week, as we were in worship, I just had a sense of defilement that was upon the body of Christ. And you know, I can't speak for the whole body, but over us as a people. I sense that this defilement was bringing a discouragement, it was bringing heaviness. You know how when you're in a car and you're in mud and you just can't get traction? You know, you're kind of bogged down. I was just sensing that over us there was a defilement that has come. And that... how many know that with the past election that we have just gone through, there was a lot of opportunity for defilement? You know what defilement is? Let me define some words here. To defile, it means to make profane, ceremonially, it's like unclean. To call common, to defile, to pollute, or to be unclean. I don't know about you, but I came out of that election, you know, and I don't care whether your guy won or my guy won or who guys won. That's irrelevant. I'm just saying that there seemed to me like there was a defilement that came upon the body of Christ. On me, okay, I'll speak for myself. As I was observing the election and trying to figure out what's my position here now, I know who I voted for, and I knew that from internal things, not external things, the reason I voted why I voted. And that doesn't mean that somebody else who voted differently than me didn't hear from internal things. Not at all. But what I found as I would be on, you know, our new American news feed, Facebook... that one after another, defilement was being spewed out. And I mean, it was from the liberal media as well as from the conservative media. There were times that I would just look at the stuff that was coming, and in my heart I'm going, you know, yeah, it feeds something that feeds my agenda, and there's a yes, but something doesn't seem true about that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. See, this defilement that comes from a bitterness, it can lead to bitterness. Do you see the bitterness that's in our nation right now? Even in the process, there was unprecedented bitterness being exchanged by people that love one another, by people who really have normally a pretty good respect for one another. This election is a check, it's a test of our hearts, I believe. Look carefully, lest anyone falls short of the grace of God. There is a grace in the economy of God that we do not need to come under this bitterness and this defilement. Okay, there's a grace for that. But I want to expand this a little bit. Because it says, look carefully. If it says to look carefully, how many know we should be looking carefully? How many know it's okay to do an internal examination every now and then? I am not a belly button gazer. I don't go there a lot. But there are times where I need to check it out and see what is motivating my own decisions, my own heart, the things that I say, the way that I love, the way that I reject, everything about me. There are times where I need to understand on a deeper level what's going on in here. And I'll tell you, this election caused me to look inside at things that I haven't looked at for a while. But this root of bitterness, it's such a subtle thing. It might just start off as a discouragement. I got discouraged with somebody, or I got discouraged with something. Or let's put it in today's terminology of what God has been speaking to. I haven't been healed yet, and I'm discouraged. See, we're pursuing things. We know that sickness and disease doesn't come from the kingdom of God. It just has a smell. It has a fragrance of another kingdom. You know, and we believe that, and we know that. And we're pursuing that, but how about that time in between the promise and the provision, the awakening of something that you know that you know that you know to be true, but our experiences aren't lining up with that? How many know that can be really discouraging? And how many know that when you're in that place of discouragement, it's a time where the enemy just likes to come and whisper? Don't you know you don't have faith? Don't you know that if you really had faith, this would all be done? Don't you know that you've done something wrong, or your dad did something? In fact, 30 generations ago, somebody did something wrong, and now you're suffering for this. Don't you? See, this thing of having the mind of Christ is the ability to reject the stuff that opposes the promises of God. Amen. No matter what it looks like. But I believe one of the greatest sources of bitterness in the soul, bitterness in the heart, is disappointment that has not been properly dealt with. I walk through disappointments with people all the time. And I'll tell you, when we're together, we get great victory. We're standing together, we're praying, we got some things that we've discovered that might have opened a door, and we get the doors closed, and then we go on, and they get by themselves. I shouldn't say they. Let me make this real. I have had times where I have been just going through it, and I get around my elders and wives who are amazing people, my intercessors who believe in me, and they speak correction to me, they speak life into me, they speak things that in and of myself, it's like, it's awful darn hard to believe, you know, I know me too well. And yet they speak the way God sees in me, and I tell you, they build me up and I'm encouraged, but I tell you, the battle happens when I leave that group. There comes a time where you must stand on your own. And in those times of discouragement, those times when I'm off and on my own and everybody else isn't around me, then it's those times that I have a choice. And I can deal with the discouragement in my heart honestly and openly to God. I've had some words with God that I probably shouldn't be saying to God. He knows me. He understands me. And there's something He loves about us when we're just raw and real. God, I just feel like about this. God, this isn't making sense to what you've spoken to me. How much longer, God, do I need to wait for this thing to happen? See, and in those times, I mean, those are all valid questions that God is willing to answer, but I tell you, He won't answer them the way we think that He'll answer them. Because many times what happens is we go into a pity party. How many know that God doesn't take part in pity parties? Yep. Especially self-pity. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't do that. He doesn't go there. If we want to come into this thing about stroking our own little egos and say, oh, poor me. Look at me. Look at the horrible, unfair things I'm going through. I didn't deserve this. You know, what we're doing is we're stepping outside of Christ. And I'll tell you, it opens a door for bitterness. It opens a door for something that doesn't just defile you. It says because of bitterness, it defiles many. It's not strange that I think it was Paul wrote, maybe Peter, husbands, don't be bitter against your wives. Husbands, don't be bitter against your wives. How many know that there's something in close relationships where disappointments happen? I love what Jay Bryan and Renee do in marriage counseling, because it's not avoiding the disappointment. It's working through this disappointment, bringing the parties together, bringing God's perspective into it, and then coming with a solution that's real and is lasting. But how many wives are bitter against their husbands? How much defilement has gone out because of this very thing of bitterness? Let's bring it back into the election. How many, again, I'll speak for myself. A nice juicy tidbit of information comes that's against the person I wasn't voting for. And something inside goes, yes, now I've got the goods. Go WikiLeaks. The Lord challenged me. He said, Dave, how would you like all of your clicks on the computer to be exposed for everybody to see? Dave, how would you like your private life made manifest for everybody to see? Now, is God in that? I think God's, the word of the Lord over Barb was that God is going to expose. I can't apologize for that. But neither do I need to celebrate it like, yeah, God, go get them. Them dirty, rotten, they deserve everything they get. No, that is pride, that's arrogance, that's bitterness that is showing up in your life. And we have absolutely no business going there. Jesus put it this way. I'm just going to start quoting scripture because I just don't have time. Jesus put it this way. Judge not that you don't be judged. Because with the same judgment that you judge one another, you're going to be judged. Is there anybody here today walking around with a big target on their back? And you wonder why? See, the Word of God is true. And I feel like there are some of these scriptures that are very pointed. They are very much a thing of warning to keep us in freedom, by the way. To keep us from defilement, by the way. And we somehow think they don't apply to us because them people are so rotten. Them people are so terrible. We somehow feel like we have this justified, self-righteous anger. I tell you, the church has gone down that road before. I remember, I loved Ronald Reagan. I think he was the best president we've had in my lifetime. I loved the guy. His humor, his common sense, I just loved the guy. But I remember, too, the arrogance that was upon the church in the 80s. Yes, our man's in office. Now we can just make laws and use it as a billy club to beat other people into subjection if they don't feel like we feel. Maybe that's a little bit dramatic, but maybe it's not. How do you handle people that think differently than you? I'm learning to listen more deeply. One of the things this election has done, it's causing me to listen, to hear what people are saying that feel differently about the candidates than I feel. And I'm finding that, you know, if there's three camps, let's just call three camps. I know there are more than three camps. But there is the Hillary camp, there's the Trump camp, there's the third party camp. And let's say the third party, you know, all this going on. I tell you, I can hear truth in every one of those camps. And to think that we have some kind of a corner on the truth and that we don't need the other aspects of truth is arrogant and it's proud. And the bitterness that is resulting from that is a discouragement. It's fear. You know, there's a lot of people out there, they're really scared. Initially, I said, get over it. We've been scared for the last 8 years. Get over it. And again, the Lord called me up short, and he said, Dave, their fear is real. To them, it's real. And you know, perceptions will convince people of their reality. And until the church can give people a freedom with their perceptions, that we can listen to them, that we can accept them, and we can love them beyond their perceptions, until we can do that, we are going to continue to alienate ourselves from the world. Now, that doesn't mean I need to agree with their perceptions. I can't. But I can love them in their perceptions. I can listen to them and why they feel like they feel. I think it's Ed Silvoso says, people really don't care what you know until they know how much you care. Judge not that you be not judged. Because with the same measure, think of this. This ought to make every one of us not want to judge people. Because with the same measure that I am critical, that I am judging, that I am passing judgment on somebody, with the same judgment, I'm drawing a target on my back. Are you being criticized and judged by people? Your family, your kids. I'm meddling here. Keep going. Is it possible? You have to answer this. Is it possible that you have judged somebody else? Now you say, well, Dave, this is fine, but are we supposed to just stand back and let evil happen? No. See, there's a couple of different words for judgment or judging in the Bible. One of them is just simply discernment. We are called to be a discerning people. We are called to call evil evil and good good. We are called to know the difference. And I tell you, the lines have become so skewed, even in the church, because of a satanic sympathy. A sympathy that's based on humanistic reasoning rather than the Spirit and the love of God. In fact, you know, truth, if it is not coupled with grace, is absolutely destructive. We can have all the truth in the world, but unless we are willing to bring grace into the equation, we are wrong. Jesus, the Pharisees had all the truth in the world when they brought the woman caught in adultery. Caught in the very act. What do you think the woman was thinking? She's expecting to be stoned. She's probably saying, yeah, I'm just a dirtbag. I've done this. Caught, red-handed. How'd my life ever go here? Just start throwing the rocks and put me out of my misery. And it doesn't happen. Jesus doesn't deny her sin. He says, I don't condemn you. Now, then he empowers her. Go and sin no more. I don't know. There's something about that those two phrases that have been working in my spirit for, I think I preached on this some time ago. But there's something in my spirit that is being worked where we can absolutely love people that are wrong. And we don't have to deny the truth, but grace gives them a way out. Grace gives them a way to come clean. See, in the body of Christ, most of us sitting here have stuff that we'd be absolutely ashamed of. Most of us sitting here have stuff in our lives that we wouldn't want anybody to know. And so we come, we smile, we have great service. And that's all good. It really is. I'm needling here, okay? I'm meddling, purposely meddling. Because I'm going to have stuff in my life for the rest of my life. The Canaan of my heart is still being conquered. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I want to be in the kind of environment that when God is saying attack that city, that I can come to my brothers and my sisters and say, you know, I've got this. And I really need help. Can we love? Can we love like that? Not in the spirit of fear. But the spirit of fear is so prevalent. Let me read another scripture here. And again, I'm meddling. Therefore, you're inexcusable. This is Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you're inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? See, when I start to judge other people, I started to say there's two words for judgment. One of them is discernment. The other one is where you judge it, and then you make the proclamation of condemnation on them. See, it's a matter of the heart. Sure. Like all these things, it's a matter of the heart. When I put myself as a judge and start to proclaim condemnation on those that don't think like me, I'm despising the very riches of the grace of God that has been extended to me. Amen. See, we spend too much time celebrating. Probably needed to celebrate. This is a word that I feel like we want to take very, very seriously, not for the sake of condemnation and guilt, but for the sake of freedom. Because whether we acknowledge it or not, if we've got bitterness, if we've got envy, if we've got judgment, if we've got a target on our back, if we've got all of these things happening in our lives, we can't just ignore it and pretend it's going to go away. There is repenting. I don't know about you guys. I have repented for my attitudes of what I let in the eye gate and the ear gate of my life in this election. The times that I celebrated when there was dirt being brought on somebody. The times that I celebrated when another thing was exposed. Yes. Now, I can celebrate the fact that God is doing some things, and I can. But I tell you what, it comes with fear and trembling. I will not celebrate somebody else's demise. I will look at somebody else who is being exposed and I thought, oh God, that could be me. Oh God. Do you hear what I'm saying here? There is something that has been unholy in the heart of the church, in much of the church, when it comes to proclaiming the righteousness of God. Because we proclaim the righteousness of God, the truth of God, without the mercy and the grace of God. And I'll tell you what, mercy and grace is the open door that then allows truth to come. We've got to get this right, church. This time around, we've got to get this right. Has anybody felt that defilement?
Yes.
Have you felt that just maybe, and not everybody went there, okay? I understand. Dan, would you mind coming up? I'm going to pick on you. Not really. I love this man.
Amen.
I love this man. Do you know what Dan did? He dared to think differently than me on this election. Can you imagine taking on the pastor and daring to think differently? Who do you think you are? I learned something from Dan through this election that is precious, that I will never forget. I learned that there are people who have strong convictions and might come to a different decision than I do. But I need to honor that. Can two people who are godly men, seeking the will of God, seeking the heart of God, can two people come up to a different answer when it comes to the tolling booth? Yes. Yes. And for him to have voted the way I voted would have been absolutely wrong. And for me to vote like he voted, because he had some awful good points, would have been absolutely wrong. See, this is the kind of thing we need to learn in the church. He is not a junior Christian because he chose differently than I did. He is a man of God who, with the integrity of his heart, put his ex where he felt he needed to put his ex. And I am just coming to the place where I feel like I'm repulsed by the manipulation and the control that the church has had in the past, in making people who think differently feel inferior to us. Thank you, Dan. Your blessing. He's a revolutionary at heart. His pen is going to bring changes. Guys, this is a big deal. My heart, it's weeping for the church. It's weeping for how we've majored on the minors and minored on the majors. My heart's weeping for a whole bunch of people that are sitting under a defilement and we don't even know it. It's scary that it's become so normal that we don't even know it. This bitterness, this judging, this anger, these things that just for me came manifest in this election, there's a whole bunch of us that are sitting under it and we don't even know it. I'm all out of time. I was going to have a big altar with repentance here. But here's the deal. If this is speaking to you, can I encourage you? Repent. Turn. Get cleansed from this defilement. In fact, if that's your heart right now, raise your hand and I'll pray a prayer. If you feel like you've been defiled and you want cleansing from that defilement, just in your heart, and don't raise your hand if that's not you, that's okay. But I'm going to just release a prayer of cleansing over the body of Christ and over us. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I repent. Me, first and foremost, I repent from hard-hearted thinking, not loving people beyond the fact that they think differently than I do. And Father, I ask you to wash us, cleanse us, deliver us from this root of bitterness, God, that has been so developing. God, we don't want it. We can't have it. God, well, you're bringing us, it's just not welcome there. But you are releasing a true holiness in your people, and it is in the heart. It's in that hidden place. So, Father, I ask you release now your grace, your mercy, your cleansing, your washing, and a celebrated victory that these chains are being broken off of us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We will have some prayer teams up here. You guys are really quiet. You're not as happy as you were at the beginning.
I'm happy.
Yeah, no, this is really something that is just in my heart, and it's for the sake of freedom. It really is. It's for the sake of being set free from even those things. We tend to think of sexual immorality and pornography and, you know, stealing and greed. We tend to look at those things, but these are the things that Jesus says defile a man, the things that come out of our heart. I actually had a much longer word. You guys are being spared. Father, by the way, we do have prayer teams up here. If you want prayer, if you need healing, anything that you need, come on up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray your blessing on this body. Lord, where this word may have brought some heaviness, Father, I pray that it would have its effect and no more. God, I bind any spirit of condemnation, guilt, and shame. Shut up. That is not a part of this word. This is a word of freedom. It's a word of liberty. It's a word of learning how to remove the targets on our own backs by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.